So children who are under five, if their parents wish, they can participate, the children, that is, into sermon time activity, or keep them with us here if they so desire. So as it was announced in the morning, I am not Jeff Kerr. Our pastor is very ill this morning, and so he had to stay in bed. So just found that out at 7 a.m. this morning. So may the Lord bless to our hearts and hearing his word and the preaching of his word this morning. So the sermon that I had put together a few years ago, the title is Destination Storm. Destination Storm. Let me ask this question at the beginning. Has anyone ever twisted your arm to do something that was not your choice or your preference? Have you ever been forced in a situation or into a situation where you didn't know where it would lead you? Have you been surprised by an unexpected rough time after you followed the advice of very close friends? The scripture we look at today will help us examine these questions. And so I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. So immediately is after they fed the 10,000, after Jesus fed the 10,000 people, 5,000, sorry. Well, they could have been 10,000 with the women, but he fed a lot of people. And so that means that these disciples worked very hard. Immediately after that, he made them to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, we pray that these words, which were written for us today, work in our hearts, Lord, to encourage us to know that you care and that in the midst of trouble, we're not alone and that your promise is true. You will always rescue your people in the right time. And you will build our faith, and you will work in our life, whatever the circumstances are. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So what's the context of this? It's been a long day for everyone, including the disciples. First, the news of the beheading of John the Baptist by King Herod. If you see chapter 14 and the first few verses, that's where it's written. Then they had to deal with a large crowd that came to hear Jesus speak for a while. A long day, a long sermon, if you will. The disciples were asked to organize the distribution of the loaves and fish to feed the assembled and hungry thousands who came to hear him. The 12 had worked hard to carry out the wishes of Jesus. And now, as the crowds were being dismissed, Jesus makes the disciples get into the boat. Now, Jesus? Yes, now. Get into the boat and cross over. So they get into the boat, and just as they get far enough from the shore, having rowed and rowed, they encounter heavy winds and contrary winds, causing high waves, and they are hit by a perfect storm. Why didn't we wait and stay on the shore overnight? Did Jesus have to send us out now? Did he know we would be hit by a storm that bad? The story is also written in Mark chapter 6 and in John chapter 6. And in both the three accounts, it is clear that the destination for these disciples was the storm. So let's look at this event and examine it and see what lessons and what questions it may teach us this morning. We will look at the prescription of the storm. We will look at the experience of the storm. We will look at the purpose and the outcome of the storm for the disciples and for us today. First, the prescription of the storm. Both Matthew and Mark state in their account that immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The words that is translated in English here, made them, is a Greek verb. I'm not a Greek speaker, so I'm not going to pronounce it even correctly. Anagazo. It means to constrain, to compel, to necessitate, whether by persuasion, by entreating, or by force. So it's not just the word made, it's a word that has, that's why I started by saying, have you ever had your arm twisted to do something? Jesus made them go into the boat. That word that I'm referring to is not only used in this text. You can check it in other places. You can go to Acts chapter 26 when it talks about Paul went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. And I tried to force them to blaspheme. That same word, force them to blaspheme, is the same word that Jesus is used about Jesus forcing his disciples to get into the boat. And there are other places in the New Testament that this word is used. Now, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the boat. They didn't go in the boat according to their wishes. They would never choose to leave him, as a matter of fact, especially as his destination was the desert. But contrary to their wishes, they yielded and they obeyed Jesus. We have no record of them arguing with him. Why are you sending us into the boat now? So they are commanded to be submitting to Jesus, that they follow his word. They didn't know what was awaiting them. A real storm was awaiting them. Did Jesus know about the upcoming storm? Did the Son of God prescribe this trip into the storm? He forced them to get into the boat. He compelled them. Let me ask you, and I'm asking myself as a follower of Jesus, have you ever felt compelled by him, by Jesus, into certain situations that later proved stormy. Did you realize the fact that Jesus might send you into a storm? He actually might send you into a storm. Or that he would allow a storm to hit you when you are unsuspecting. How did you respond? How do you respond to the notion that Jesus may compel you into situations that he knows will be unpleasant, rough, and downright terrifying? Do you choose the easy way, stick to your opinion on how the situation ought to be, or do you submit to him? You may have been, I may have been a Christian for many years and have been told of a God who always wants you to be healthy and wealthy. What about the scriptures that present him as one constraining at times into destination storm? Are you ready? Were you ready then, or are you ready now to go into a storm? The prescription of the storm. Secondly, let's talk about the experience of the storm. Both Matthew and Mark tell us the following about this experience. The boat was a considerable distance away from the shore. John says it was about 3.5 miles or about 5 kilometers from the shore. So basically, if they were shouting, no help. The waves are strong and high, and the winds are against them. So not exactly the picture of being in control of the boat, really at the mercy of the event. And the disciples are straining at the oars. At least a third of them, one third of these disciples were fishermen by profession. And so they had gone frequently on that lake or Sea of Galilee. But this one trip was so strenuous, going nowhere with the rowing. And then when Jesus comes walking to them in the midst of the waves, they are terrified, fearing it's a ghost, and they scream. Even as Peter responds to that terrifying ghost and starts walking on the waters, he is overwhelmed by the sight of the wind, and he begins to go under. That's the experience of the storm. So what is Jesus doing on shore during the storm? Well, first, we are told he is praying. Did he include the safety of his disciples in his prayer? Well, we're not told, but we pray he was praying for them. Mark tells us that Jesus saw them straining at the oars. So his eyes were on them while they were in the sea. Thirdly, during the experience of the storm, Jesus comes to them at the fourth watch of the night. As we know from the Romans' time, there were 4 watches to the night. This fourth watch was at dawn, between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning. Pretty late. Pretty late. They have been in the storm for a while. So Jesus basically waited all night until the wee hours of the morning to come to the disciples. And then when he comes, they don't recognize him. And he speaks a word of encouragement to them. He says, "It's me, it's Jesus, don't be afraid." And then he reaches out to Peter as he flounders in the water and he catches him. But in the middle of the storm experience, Jesus is disappointed because Peter doubted. He is also saddened that their hearts were hardened. Pause. Hardened hearts? In this kind of storm? Mark tells us that the disciples had not understood about the loaves and the feeding of the 5,000. How can it be that we are told that Jesus was disappointed about their hardened hearts? You know, as they walked, these 12, with Jesus day after day until this point, they had seen him heal a man with leprosy when they had come down from the mountain after the sermon. He had healed the paralyzed servant of the centurion. He healed Peter's mother-in-law and many other sick people that were brought to him. He had healed two demon-possessed men where the exiting demons recognized him as the Son of God. The disciples had seen the healing of the paralytic who was brought to him on a mat. They had witnessed the raising of the ruler's daughter from death and the healing of the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. They saw him heal the two blind men who followed him, calling him out, "Have mercy on me, the Son of David." They even seen him calm storm before. So they had witnessed all these miracles and these works of Jesus, but their hearts were still hard. How dull can you be? They could not see the glory of Jesus. I am glad that we have this portrayal of the disciples in the Word of God, because Matthew and Mark do not portray the disciples as some super spiritual folks. I'm glad. Rather, the gospel writers are declaring that this and other failings of the disciples are clear. They're put before us. They're no better than you and I. And there was no attempt to hide their failings. So let me ask, what is your storm? Is it a marriage strain, chronic disease, a rebellious child, an abusive relationship, growing up with an alcoholic parent, a betrayal, an economic disaster, a divorce, the loss of a loved spouse or child, the loneliness that comes after that, the strain on the job? What is your experience of a storm? Do you feel as far away from help as they were 5 kilometers into the water? Do you feel as you are being slapped and pushed in all directions without any hope or chance to rest as they were tossed about in the water? Are you rowing hard, going nowhere, even though you had thought you could handle this? Do you harbor any ill feelings towards God? Does it seem he had abandoned you in a storm? And when you cried out in fear, did it seem no one could hear you? And even as you heard his words to you, the words of Jesus, did you doubt? When Jesus reached out to you through his church, through his word, through his shepherds, did you recognize Jesus? Or was it a ghost? Or did you start to drown like Peter? Did you believe that Jesus was praying for you as he saw you struggling, straining, and crying in your storm? Do you believe he's always there, even coming to you and reaching to rescue you? Were you surprised to know that when you thought you had faith, it turned out to be little faith? Are you aware that your heart and my heart may be hard and not as soft as you think? How many times have you seen God's interventions in your life before? Even in the midst of similar storms, are you still doubted? If someone were to write about your experience in the storm, how would you like them to portray you? As truly you are, fearful and unbelieving, or an embellished version to cover up your failure and lack of faith in the Christ you follow? Dear brothers and sisters, the experience of the storm is rough. And the realization that you and I need to make is that Jesus sees us. He comes to us. He prays for us. He comes to us in His word, in His church, in His people. He walks through the rough waters. He is not only with us in the storm, but the storm does not affect us. He is above it. And therefore, He is able to come to our rescue. First, Jesus prescribes the storms. Then we read about the experience of the storm of the whole disciples in the boat. What is the purpose of the storm? Why would Jesus compel His disciples to go into what He knows will be a stormy ride in the Sea of Galilee? I thought about three things. One, the Lord is constantly trying to train us in the school of obedience. He's training us in the school of obedience. Jesus constrains us in certain courses of action to test our obedience. Remember Abraham? When he had to take his son to make a sacrifice out of him in obedience to God. That's a storm for Abraham, who was just told, you know, your son, I will give you children. I'll make you the father of many nations. And then the only son he gives him, he asks him to slay. God often conceals things from us to teach us not to be wise in our own eyes, but to depend entirely on living out the experience of His will. Living out the experience of His will. Learning by living God's will in our life when it doesn't even seem to be God's will. Jesus made the disciple cross the lake to train them in the rule of obedience. Remember Jonah. Contrary to what these disciples did, Jonah chose to rely on his own opinion and go in the opposite direction from the Lord's direction. And God prescribed for Jonah a storm. And what an experience it was for Jonah. It brought him to the same outcome as the disciples. He learned about obedience. How well are you and I trained in obedience to God? How trained are your senses and mine to discern God's will and recognize it when it is staring you in the face, and then to obey it? The second purpose, after first being trained, this is a training exercise for us in our faith, in our obedience. The second purpose is to once more reveal to us that He is truly God. One more time, Jesus, after all the miracles that I have noted for you that they had all witnessed, that Jesus had done, one more time, Jesus is revealing to them that He is truly God. Jesus stops the wind. Elsewhere, the scriptures tell us that Jesus knew the thoughts of the hearts of men. Here, He knows the hearts of His own disciples. They are hardened. They are hardened. They have hard hearts. They refuse to see Him as He truly is, the Son of God. In John's account of the same event, we're told that after Jesus fed the 5,000, the people said, "Surely this is a prophet who is to come into the world." And Jesus, knowing they intended to come and make Him king by force, He withdrew again into the hills. Were the disciples leaning towards the same conclusion as the crowds in thinking He was a prophet and intending to force Him to be king? Is that what was going on in their hearts? Did they not see the miracles pointing to the fact that He is and He was the Son of God? That's the disciples. Who is Jesus to you? Do you see him as just a great prophet or teacher, or is he in your life the Son of God, sovereign, able to save you when you are spiritually naked, blind, and poor, in fact, when you were dead in sin? Have you gotten so used to his words and his presence that you no longer appreciate the fact that he is God at work in your life? The third purpose from this storm experience is that Jesus wants to soften our hardened hearts. First, you need to acknowledge that your heart at times is hard towards God. Prophet Jeremiah promised, as we read in the scripture earlier today, that the Lord will take away our stony hearts and give us a heart of flesh. Not the text we read, but it's in that area. How long does this transformation take? Here, Jesus was revealing daily his power to 12 men who went everywhere with him. Yet, their hearts were hardened. At least others in the crowds could be excused. They didn't follow Jesus every day, but the disciples' hearts softened only when the Spirit of God completely took over and the scales fell off their eyes after they witnessed the risen Christ. I am glad this is recorded for us. All their doubts or their unbelief, all this, because they look like me, they look like you. Only when the Spirit of God comes and opens the eyes and enlightens the understanding, then we see Jesus as he really is. Is your heart softened? Are you known for a compassionate heart? Are you soft to the word and work of Christ? Or do you still doubt that he sustains you during the storm, that he can calm the storm, that he will relieve all your fears? The purposes of the storm, and that's not an exhaustive list of any sort, is to first teach us obedience to God, increase our faith, to know Jesus as the Son of God, and to acquire a soft heart. And finally, the outcome of the storm. When the storm experience dies down, the disciples in the boat are completely amazed and worship Jesus. As they perceive the voice of his encouragement, as his image is not distorted as a ghost, but they see him as he is, as he rescues Peter from the impact of his doubts, as Jesus speaks to the winds and the waves and they obey him again, as they realize that he alone knows and works out the outcome of the storm. The disciples are dazzled by Jesus' presence, by his power, by his action. They finally see the glory of the one and only Son, Jesus. And while they were being tossed by the waves and straining at the oars, it seemed long and wearying. But all of a sudden, they lose their fear. The buffeting of the waves comes to an end. It wasn't meant to be forever. The storm is over, and they make it to the shore with Jesus on board. So they worship him, realizing his worth, and they act upon this realization. He is the Son of God. We serve him. We bow down before him. He is able to change a stormy situation and bring on calm and peace. What's the outcome of the storm in your life? Do you have an ultimate realization of the worth of Jesus, of who he is and what he can do? Do you realize that he is with you in the storm to bring you closer to himself, to build your understanding of who he is and what he does in you and through you? Or is the storm not as he intended to be for you? In closing, does Jesus ask of you something he is not acquainted with? His storm too was prescribed for him. His sacrifice and his blood were known before the foundation of the world. His experience of the storm was so severe, it overwhelmed him, and he cried from the hill of Golgotha, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the purpose of his storm, his suffering on the cross, we're told by the writer to the Hebrews that during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Jesus' suffering was prescribed before the foundation of the world. Jesus' experience of his own destination of storm was one that was in every respect painful. What was the outcome of Jesus' storm? We are told he received the joy set before him because of his obedience. He sits in the most excellent and majestic position at the right hand of the Father, who will gather unto him all the children that the Father had given Jesus. And they will worship him, the Lamb that was slain. Not only them, but every knee shall bow and every tongue confess he is Lord. So the next time you find yourself, I find myself heading towards a stormy situation, will we remember that this may also be ordained by the Lord? He will be with you in that experience as your mediator, as your Savior. He will be praying for you. He will save you. His purpose is to reveal himself to you, to me, as the Son of God who is able to do more than you can ever imagine. Worshipping him during the storm will bring you great comfort, for he knows the outcome of the situation. For Jesus, the storm was worth it. Is it worth it for you? As someone said, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Let's pray. Lord, we know that we face many storms many times that don't seem to make sense to us. We don't know where they're coming from. We know they are painful. We know that there is suffering. We are glad that you have written, that you have told us that you are always there praying for the disciples when you saw them in the boat, coming to them, shutting down the wind and the waves, rescuing them, and Lord, in all of it, giving them faith and revealing yourself even more to them. This morning, Father, we ask the same. We know, Lord Jesus, you are praying and interceding for your children all the time. Lord, help us to understand and accept that sometimes you are also compelling us into storms in our lives. Sometimes we were unsuspecting, unaware. Sometimes our hearts were hardened. Sometimes, Lord, we thought we had soft hearts and we are very obedient to you. And in your grace and in your mercy, you turned us back to yourself and you brought us to a place of rest but also a place of realization of your greatness, that indeed there is no God like you. Help us, Lord, and deal with our unbelief and our doubts, and bring us, Lord, to this place of obedience, just like Jesus did. And so we would have the outcome just like Jesus had. We would be received to be with you in eternity and in glory. Bless the word, Lord, to everyone's life here. For Jesus' sake, amen.